Opinions expressed by the guests and host are not necessarily those of Judy Anderson and Associates, LLC, or the show sponsors. This show is for information purposes only and is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. For medical advice, please consult your personal veterinarian. Welcome to Jazz Up Your Animal's Life with Judy, where you will learn from experts about the latest holistic and innovative methods to keep your animals healthy and happy, animal communication, the spirituality of animals, and so much more. Here is your host, Judy Anderson, and her co-host, Simba.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining Simba and myself for our premiere show. How are you doing, Simba? He's sitting on the chair behind me, as he usually does. So we both love animals and have such a great respect for what they bring to the world. As Gandhi said, the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. Lori, and today we have a guest who treats animals with the love and respect they deserve, Lori Spagna. Lori has, there's a lot of feedback or some noise on the line. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but someone's moving around. So let me tell you about Lori. She's great. She has over 20 years of experience serving humans and animals around the world and is an internationally recognized expert, speaker, and author who provides seminars and workshops about how we can improve our lives by learning from animals. As a visionary, light worker, intuitive, animal communicator, and healer, Lori also leads powerful manifestation and healing circles where she assists people and their pets tap into their true power by the universal source which connects us all. Lori was featured in the soon-to-be-released HBO movie Animals in the Afterlife. Now, if you have any questions, I want to invite you to call in today at 347-850-8104. That's 347-850-8104. So welcome, Lori. So we're very happy to have you with us today.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I am just great. As you said, I feel jazzed.
Yeah. Thank you for having me as a guest today. I'm so honored and really happy to be here. And congratulations on your new show. I know this is a brand new kickoff show for you, so congrats. I know it's going to be great.
Yes. And something that is not in her bio, Lori has been extremely supportive of me and all of my media-type business, my telesummit, and she's just been an absolute delight and has shared her gifts with my guests on those shows. So, Lori, you know, one thing I haven't known about you, when was the first time you, or the first experience that you discovered this wonderful connection you have with animals?
Oh, my God, I love that question. I don't get asked it very often.
I've never heard it. And how many times have we talked?
I remember specifically, actually, I was 7 years old. I remember really clearly. It was the first time I ever went to SeaWorld. And not that I'm a big fan of captive animals, you know, but at that age, I didn't know. I went to SeaWorld for the first time, and I went to see the orca show. And I remember walking in there with my father, you know, walking out of there, I was holding my father's hand, and I remember saying, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to work with animals. And I remember actually that he looked at me and he said, Lori, you can't do that because you won't make any money at it. That one sentence, it's amazing how we can be so affected by one thing our entire lives. And then I spent, you know, most of my life working my way out of that belief system because it's not really true. Just, you know, it was his belief system.
Right.
I changed it. Right. But anyway, that's where it first started. And that was
interesting.
My whole life that came out of that. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Isn't that something? How old were you?
Seven. I was seven.
7 years old.
Yep.
Wonderful. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, now, if you've just joined us, our guest today is international animal communicator Lori Spagna, and we'll continue. We're going to hear about spiritual dog training, but first I want to take a moment to share a new discovery with you. I'm very much into holistic methods for keeping animals healthy. The rates of cancer in our pets is getting higher every year, and there are just so many toxins in our environment, and people use toxic chemicals to keep their pets free from fleas and ticks, mosquitoes, and other external parasites. There's no need to do that anymore. I found a chemical-free, non-toxic repellent that is even more effective than those toxic chemicals and at a lower cost. To find out more, there will be a link on the podcast page. And please check it out for the sake of your animals. Even Simba recommends it. So wonderful. So we're talking with Lori Spagna about spiritual dog training. And should you have any questions, please call in at 347-850-8104. 347-850-8104. So this is a new topic, Lori, that I've never heard you discuss, spiritual dog training. I take it's maybe a little bit more than sit and stay.
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is? Actually, it's kind of where I got my start, Judy. Because what happened
really?
Was when I, yeah, because, I mean, I spent, you know, 20 years, as you know, working in corporate America because I thought that was the way, what I had to do to make money and to survive. And on my vacations and in between jobs and weekends, I would be volunteering with animals around the world. And then what happened was my brother ended up dying of an unexpected drug overdose. And when he died, I started getting very clear communication that he was not dead. He had not died at all. And he was basically saying, Lori, you're next if you don't change your life. Because I was walking, I was really just a mess. I was in corporate America and smoking excessively, drinking excessively, using pharmaceutical drugs as a way to get healthy, you know, to try to fix things. It just wasn't working. I was spending excessively. I was massively in debt. I was overweight. I was unhealthy. I wasn't able to sleep. I wasn't able to wake up. I couldn't function. And so when I started getting that message, what happened was I said, all right, I'm going to receive this as a message from the universe and from my brother. I'm going to assume I'm not crazy, and I'm going to take a risk and leave corporate America and leave my six-figure job and become a dog trainer. And that's exactly what happened. I was hired by a gentleman who said, I was hired by a gentleman who said 20 years training government service dogs for the United States government. And he recruited me out of 1,000 people to work under his tutelage. There were only 6 people accepted, and I was under an intensive training program with him. And what happened was while I was training with him on how to become a dog trainer, I really started to get happy for the first time in my life. And I started really, the lines of telepathy with the animals and the communication started to open up for me. Because they are telepathic, they are. They do communicate. They just don't speak in words, you know, with their mouth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, spiritual dog training was born out of that. It was just a combination of the methods of dog training in combination with the more metaphysical and spiritual approaches that I had been learning my whole life and still do practice and have been. It was incorporating all of that and bringing it together and really giving it to trainers and humans who live and work with animals and love animals and were open to receiving what the animals wanted to teach us. That's really what it's about. Because they're teaching us.
Aren't they, though? They really are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they're training us. And so spiritual dog training is all about that. It's literally a program that incorporates all of that stuff, the communication, the energy, the behavioral aspects, the nutrition, holistic and health and well-being, and it's designed for people who work with animals in any way, shape, or form, either professionally or as volunteers, and it's also designed for people who want to have true partnership with their animal companions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what, no matter where.
Oh wow, that's great! You know, when you were talking about dogs training us, I had a golden lab, Comet, and
yes.
He used to, when I was gone, he would go out in the backyard. He had this doggy door, he'd go in the backyard. He'd bark and bark and bark. There was a woman across the way who got very upset with this, and so what she'd do is she'd come over and give him a dog bone, you know, a biscuit or something. And I told her, when I found out what was happening, I said, you know, you're really training him to go outside and bark. And that's what he'd do, go out and bark, and she'd come over
did
and give him a, you know, yeah, dog bone
or
dog biscuit.
Did she realize that's what she was doing? when you told her
it's interesting. She was married to a vet. I mean, it's like she should. It was interesting. I don't know if she really totally got it or not. So, but yeah. So
I actually have worked with a lot of vets and trained a lot of vets with this approach. And one of the things I find, I mean, for the vets who are open-minded, you know, they really benefit from it. However, a lot of traditional doctors, whether they're veterinarian or, you know, human medical doctors, a lot of them actually, they don't even realize that they'll have this inborn thing that thinks they know it all because they went through such a, and they were so, they've been so glorified by society for so long. So sometimes they're actually quite unteachable, ironically. And this kind of program actually really, really helps them a lot if they're willing to be open-minded.
But, yeah,
you know, we
really.
All, I always tell everybody I work with, try to be perpetual students.
Oh, I know. I know. That is, there is so much in life that, you know, the more I know it, the more I know that I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, really.
That's so true.
Really.
Yeah.
So when you talk about spiritual dog training, you're talking about everything in life with the dog,
I'm talking, a holistic approach. And I'm not, and the interesting thing is the spiritual dog training program, it applies to all animals. If people would kind of listen to it, they would see that it's an approach for living. It's for the humans, too. Even the nutritional aspects of it. I mean, it's based on, it teaches about holistic, all natural, you know, ways of eating and preparing food. And it talks about the energy involved with it. It talks about all natural supplements for, it's a whole holistic approach to living. And it applies to all animals, not just dogs. And that includes the human variety of animals. Because we're animals.
Oh, yeah, right. We are.
Yeah.
You know, I found when I first got my dog as an adult, I had dogs when I was growing up, but, you know, then I was just a kid and I didn't know anything about nutrition or anything. But when I got my first dog, Comet, my golden lab, as an adult, I got to thinking, you know, I was feeding him this dog food. It was this dried dog food that I had rescued him from a neighbor, and she said, this is what he eats. And so I was giving it to him, totally ignorant about anything about dogs, except I loved the dog, you know, I really. And so then it dawned on me, why don't you give him, you know, great food like you think, you know you should put in your own body. And so then I started doing that, and it just started me on a whole path of, learning what to do with an animal. And it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It really, really is. So many people love their animals and they don't realize what they are doing. Sometimes they're doing things that are not beneficial for animals, but they really don't know because they don't know it. Yeah.
Right.
So
well,
the learning curve.
Yeah, we're in an escalated time of learning right now in evolutionary history where we're learning at such a fast rate. We can barely take it all in. You know, it's so much information available to us now. And our animals actually are teaching us this, leading the way, I believe. You know, they're like so humble about it, but they really have so much to teach us.
Yeah, they do. What are some of the, you're talking about, they teach us. You've had animals, and what are some of the lessons? Could you share a couple of lessons you've learned from your animals?
Well, I mean, I think aside from the obvious stuff, like, you know, some of the stuff we're talking about, like just eating well and, you know, being kind and, you know, you don't even have to ask for forgiveness. We just love you and accept you for who you are. Those kinds of things that we experience with our animals all the time, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the biggest things are really just so uniquely personal. I mean, ask any person who's ever shared a sacred bond with an animal. And every person has stories and examples of how they've been deeply touched, deeply affected with and from their relationship with their animals. So my dog, Kenya, she taught me about death and dying and the afterlife, and she helped me to learn about my greatest potential and the potential that exists within everybody. She taught me to be a great dog trainer. She taught me to be a fabulous animal communicator. She taught me about my own inner strength. And I mean, these, I could go into the depth of the stories, but I don't even know that we'd have enough time for all that. And then I have a dog, Dakota, and I am so amazed about Dakota. When I start to know her now through the intimacy of the relationship that I share with her, of how she has, for an entire lifetime, sort of humbly and quietly sat in my life, never asking for any recognition, and all the while holding space for me to really see the glory of her that really just existed in such a graceful, non-threatening, humble way, teaching me about humility and servitude from a place of contribution rather than being less than. I mean, it's just the wisdom that they have to share with us when we open up to receiving it is so deeply profound.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, it was with my comment that I learned about death and dying and afterlife. It was like I've described it to friends. His passing was one of the most horrific things that happened in my life, and yet it was the most beautiful.
Right.
So, yeah, really.
The whole afterlife thing is such an incredible topic because they know how to let go. They know when it's time to surrender, and they don't have the same kind of attachment to the physical experience and the physical body that we have, and they don't even have attachment to pain the way we do. They don't even mark pain. It's almost like one thing I've really learned from communicating with animals and working with them is that their entire experience of pain is different from ours. They have so much more consciousness about it, you know.
Yeah, Lori, I know you've hit on a topic here, and there is a woman, Rose, who wants to ease her aging German Shepherd's pain at the end of life. I don't know if she wanted to come on and ask the question or if you... Okay, hi. Is this Rose?
Yes, it is. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, thank you for... Lori, I've been a fan of yours, and Judy and Simba, I'm a fan of yours, so thank you for having this. I do have a over 15-year-old German Shepherd mix, and we've had him since a pup from the Humane Society, and he's definitely in pain, and you brought that up, it brought up my attention. I see that he's in pain because he can't get up and down, and his back leg kind of shakes when he's standing up with his hip sting. I wanted to ease his suffering because I know there's the inevitable, but I wondered what I could do to help with this transition and help with the...
Well, what's his name, first of all? What's his name?
His name is Rontu, R-O-N-T-U, Rontu.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, in general, he's a pretty balanced dog. Like, in other words, he's got a good balance and a good grounding to him anyway. I'm just energetically sort of reading him now. But, I mean, more like in terms of his whole energy field, right, his whole demeanor. But in terms of some things that you can do to help him, okay, well, there's a lot of things. First of all right, let me start with this. If you haven't already, and if budget's not an issue, or I don't know how much of an issue it may or may not be, but one thing I would really highly recommend, and this is good for anybody, but definitely your dog will love this, this is good for any animal who's aging, is get ongoing and regular energy treatments for him. And when I say energy, the kind that I prefer for older dogs tends to be non-touch, distance energy healing. So things like Reiki and any other kind of energy work that any kind of energy worker can do. It's very effective. And you can have that person do it for you first so that you can experience it firsthand.
Oh,
if you're working on a budget, there are tons of Reiki people out there and energy healers who do group work for people. And animals, you can find them all over the internet. I would definitely recommend that to everybody, and it's amazing how much that can help. The other thing is, when you're talking about things like arthritis, which is one of the things I'm hearing right now, and, you know, like challenges with bones and muscles, there's a lot of nutritional support that's outside of the mainstream philosophies that you could use. So, I mean, certain omega-rich oils in the diet, like coconut oil, the rich fish oils that are clear of mercury and not in any way harmed, and you have to do a little bit of research to find out which ones those are. I mean, I teach about that, but it's not hard to find that out. You know, high-quality omega-rich oils added to the diet. Obviously, I'm a big raw organic food supporter. I think dry food is a waste of money, and you might as well feed your animal hay. So I'm sorry if I sound very extreme about that, but that's a big thing right there that really helps their body to switch to raw organic. And anyone who you know, I mean, I understand there's budget issues with that, but you can certainly make home-prepared diets with that are a lot more affordable, if that's an issue. And then the other thing, in terms of when you're talking about bones, which sometimes is a factor with older dogs, Sisus is a product that's really good for strengthening bones, C-I-S-S-I-S. You can do the research on that as well online if you want to learn more about that. Those are some things right off the bat that are I definitely would recommend so far. Is that helpful, Rose?
Very, very. And I was I'd love that. And what you said about the experience of pain is different. How is it, are they experiencing it then?
Well, they don't attach to their pain. So they feel it and they experience it. And I'm saying this in general through my communication because every body and being is different. And that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't give us the right to inflict pain on animals, obviously. I know nobody on this call would do that, but I just want to make that clear since we're being recorded. But usually their experience with pain is more conscious. In other words, they recognize that it's their body experiencing pain and that they can be aware of it, that they can have the experience of it, but they don't own it as theirs. And there's a kind of recognition that it's temporary and that it's associated with the physical form, but it's not the truth of who they are, and that it's not really their pain. It's just energy in their physical experience.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. And
I wrote
everything. Oh, yeah, good. I hear you. And they also know a lot of times that physical stuff is very deeply part of their sacred contracts and their agreements, which is a whole other topic, that has to do with the healing work that they're doing for their humans. So they're sharing an energetic space with their humans, and part of their agreements are to heal their humans and to take on stuff to alleviate the suffering that their humans are experiencing. So they do that with a lot of consciousness and with a lot of divine love, like real love for their human, compassion for their human. It's amazing.
Amazing.
So, yeah. It really is.
Yes, I just love this. It's amazing. So I thank you so much. That opens up a whole... Yeah.
Yeah.
One
last thing, and anyone could apply this. Just talking to your animal in honoring ways, like I honor you, in this case you run to, you know, I honor you, I respect you, thank you, I love you, I'm so grateful to you for your contribution to my life and for your energy work. I'm so grateful to you, I love you, I honor you. Just those words. Yeah, our animals understand that. They really get that, and that's like the recognition of their life's purpose and their contribution to us. We don't say that to them enough. We say, I love you, but we don't always say, I honor you. I honor the divinity in you. I honor the consciousness in you. That is so profound. They really can receive that. They're great at that. And that's like what they want. That's what they want to hear. It's us honoring ourselves, too, as we say it.
Super, thank you.
Great, yeah. Rose. Thank you for that wonderful question. It was very appropriate because she, Lori, was just talking about pain, and very appropriate. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Rose. And, Lori, thank you for your response, because it really, it's almost like animals have this detachment from pain.
Yeah, but it's not to say they don't experience it. They do.
They experience it, but yeah. Interesting.
So I don't mean to belittle their pain. I'm not belittling
We don't want animals in pain, no.
Right. I'm just simply offering a perspective that I think is a kind of a very evolved perspective that we could learn from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
yeah,
good. Food for thought on that one. Thank you, Rose, and thank you for your response, Lori. So what else would you like to share with us about your spiritual dog training?
Well, you know what I think is one of the best things, and I think any person who has a dog, especially younger dogs or dogs who are stressed or dogs who have behavioral issues, I mean, obviously, for the people who know me, my business is called Ethel's God, right? It's spelled Dog's Life backwards, E-F-I-L-S-G-O-D, because dogs are always mirroring us. Like, so the people who know me know that I say that, and that's the foundation of so much of the work that I do. However, at the same time, with the spiritual dog training approach, I think one of the biggest things that you could apply to every animal, it doesn't matter if this is a dog or a cat, this works too, is the approach that all animals in packs and prides, which is, you know, canines and felines, they operate in a very group consciousness way. In other words, they operate from the perspective of what's good for the group is always what's for the highest and greatest good of all, and that's the path that they'll choose. And that's a really evolved perspective as well, obviously, which we humans are learning about now. But if you apply that in your life dynamic with your animals, your animal companions, it's a pretty easy way to correct almost every behavioral challenge. So let me elaborate on this. Can I take a couple
please.
Minutes, Judy, to elaborate? Okay. So what
yes,
that
please
basically,
do.
Okay, good. So what that basically means in terms of everyday existence and everyday living is that you could literally set your life up to almost recreate this in your home environment, in your life. So let me say that like this. All cats and dogs from pack and pride mentality, they basically have 9 different behaviors. That's it. 9 different general, it's not really behaviors, activities. So these are them. I'm going to say them. Number 1, they sleep, right? Really easy. Sleep. Then they wake up. When they wake up, they go out, they pee and poop, eliminate, proper elimination. Then the next thing is, generally speaking, they lounge around and they relax for a while. They rest. They kind of recharge, right? They're getting ready for their day. So that's like a lounge time. Then they start to get ready for a hunt, right, because they're going to get hungry. So they organize, prepare for their hunt. That's work time. But then they quickly move into exercise time, right? That's an exercise, a form of exercise, the hunt. And then when they make the kill, they move into eating time. So that's another time, eating, proper eating time. Then after that, they might eliminate again, proper elimination. Then they might relax again. Then they might have some fun and play time, or they might have some love time, or they might have some adventures. And then they basically repeat the whole thing again. So those are actually the major activities that the animals deal with, okay? So I'll just say them real fast. Sleep time, elimination, work, sleep, elimination, work, exercise, eating, lounging around, love time, play time, and adventures. And then in between every one of those activities, there's simply a shift, a movement, a transition from activity to activity, which is basically what the leaders of the pack or the leaders of the pride do. They say, come on, we're going to the next activity. And so if you can kind of recreate that in your home, which you can, I mean, that's kind of what I teach. That's a huge part of what I teach in spiritual dog training. You actually relieve all the anxiety that
I'm listening.
that your animal companions might have. And in doing so, when you relieve that anxiety, they actually start to relax, and it takes away it takes away so many of the undesirable behaviors. Does that make sense? Judy?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, are you asking me? I'm sorry, you dropped or something. Yes, that makes sense. It does. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so because the idea is what happens is when an animal doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing, he doesn't know which one of those pack behaviors he's in, what happens is he starts to get stressed out. And he goes, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. Should I be hunting? Should I be exercising? Is it eating time? When is it my turn to eat? Is it sleep time? Where do I sleep? What do I do? And that creates stress and anxiety. From the stress and anxiety, what we call bad behavior or undesirable behavior develops. Excessive barking, improper elimination, you know, peeing and pooping in the wrong place, jumping, scratching, whatever else they do that we don't like and we don't want in the human environment. So when we recreate their reality by just shifting them from behavior to behavior, and making sure that that's like recreating their experience, those undesirable behaviors just start to subside a lot of the time because you're like, they get to exhale and go, ah, I get it. Right now it's peeing time. It's elimination time. Or right now it's eating time. Right now it's rest time. I get it. Does that make sense?
Can that vary from day to day? Or should it be the same time?
No, you can mix it up. You can mix it all
okay,
up.
Okay.
The issue is that humans don't, as long as the dog knows or the cat knows, oh, it's playtime.
We don't direct.
Oh, I get it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We don't know because our society is not really made up of really good leaders. We have not learned good leadership in our society, in our world. So we don't know how to be effective leaders and say, hey, we're going here right now. This is what we're doing right now. This is what's good and appropriate. This is what's good for the group. We're all going to do this. It's going to be great. And if you don't do it, hey, there's going to be a consequence, but just get back in here and everything will work out fine. That's really what the dogs are teaching us and the cats are teaching us. But we don't always know to do that. Effectively, that's really what we just need to really recreate in our reality. I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically what it is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. You know what, because when I say to Simba, okay, well, we have a show today, and we come into the office, and he walks over, you know, and he waits for me to, well, sometimes I help him. Sometimes he just jumps up on the chair, you know, my desk chair, and he's ready for the show.
Right.
Whatever show
right.
it is. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right, because that's mm-hmm. a pattern of behavior that you created, and you're mm-hmm. holding space for that show. You're holding space that when you do this, that's all you're going to do. You're going to focus on the show and all is well. And Simba mm-hmm. is tuned into your energy enough during that time that it's totally predictable. It's totally understandable. He knows you're going to be in your space. He's going to be in his space and all will be well.
Yes. And
right.
then there's another part to that. Afterward, when we're finished and, you know, I can go off my computer or after he hears that, you know, I'm finished talking to someone, you know, he'll look at me. Okay, it's time to go to the park.
Right,
time
right,
for the
right.
dog walk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because yeah. mm-hmm.
he knows the routine, which is fantastic,
yes.
right? It's,
mm-hmm.
it's an understandable mm-hmm. routine that works for both of you. And there's no stress and no anxiety. It's for the highest and greatest good of the whole pack, you and him in this case. And so mm-hmm. because it's predictable and understandable and you both feel very good about it energetically, all goes well. Now, if you could recreate that, in all the major areas of life, that same kind of experience when you're going to sleep, when it's sleep time, when it's food preparation time and eating time, when it's rest time, lounging around and relaxing time, when it's play time, when it's, you know, time to do exercise, when it's work time, when you're working, he could be relaxing, which is the case with your radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you can recreate that energy of that kind of stability, predictability, reliability, you know, in every one of those unique situations, you guys would be great. And you'd never have any kind of undesirable behaviors, right, throughout
mm-hmm.
all your life.
Yeah, so, but even if there's no undesirable behaviors, it's probably also good to do that because, like with Simba, I don't have really undesirable behaviors, but it just brings peace and calming to him.
That's right. When I say undesirable behavior, thank you for saying that. Let me expand because in this case, we're talking about behaviors, but it's exactly what you said. You're exactly right. It brings peace and calm. So what does peace and calm do? It creates a healthier, happier human and a healthier, happier animal. Mm-hmm. And the reason, by the way, there's no undesirable behaviors with Simba is because you're creating experience in your life together. If you're both peace and calm, and that when you're peaceful and calm, there's no stress. When there's no stress, you're relaxed and happy and healthy. The body's healthy, the mind's healthy, the spirit's healthy. It's a holistic approach.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Then I have Molly. We won't talk about him.
Molly?
Yeah, Molly. The one who likes to bark, yeah.
All right, so why do you think Molly is barking like that? What's going on with Molly?
Well, you know, it was interesting during my Telesummit series. She would be... because she does bark if there's any movement outside the house. She's like the guard dog. So I would put her in another room. And she'd scratch on the door. I have a very scratched door. So then what I finally did, hello, Judy, wake up. I brought her into the office, and she joined us. And then she didn't make any noise. It was interesting.
Yeah, good. That's interesting.
You found
the solution. You found a solution that was for the highest and greatest good of everybody involved. But let me tell you this, and that's beautiful. Number one, your dog Molly in that case was just behaving from the perspective that she had to take care of the pack by guarding the territory because the pack was not all in alignment together, right? And so she was just creating a behavior in the absence of knowing a more appropriate and proper behavior, which you substituted when you brought her with you. But one thing I can tell you is dogs and cats do not like to ever be locked into a room. In fact, it's kind of like putting them into, you know, like a little white box, like a, you know,
even
nobody would like
a big
that,
room?
You know. No.
Even
no,
a big room?
Not, nope. They don't like closed doors, and they don't like being locked in anywhere, ever. And I think they want to be with us, don't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. However, they like dens and small spaces that keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they come to know that those dens and small spaces are generally associated with pleasantness, you know, not punishment, pleasantness.
Right.
So you can teach them about using dens and small spaces by creating safe spaces for them that are pleasant and enjoyable and reward-oriented, not punishment-oriented. Like, those are reward places for them to relax and have treats and have sanctuary kind of thing, but not if they perceive it as they're being closed into a room and being locked out of where everybody else is. That does not work for them. And your dog taught you that. Molly taught you that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. You know, you're talking about dens. So is it pretty important? Have you found that dogs like their little... the cages and everything, they like their little cages to go in because they are kind of like a den. Do you find that most dogs like that?
Well, I find that it depends entirely on the unique dog and how he was treated with respect to the den.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if it was treated like by the human, like it was some kind of punishment to lock him in, and if it was used in any kind of inhumane way, he will not like it. But if it was treated as some kind of sanctuary or a place for him to be safe and feel secure, and if he, you know, associates it with his den where he was born, in a den, I mean, all dogs, all cats are born in some kind of den type of enclosure, then he's going to like it. And it's really a matter of conditioning. You know, like, same thing for you. Mm-hmm. If you were locked in a house for months at a time and you were told you couldn't come out, you wouldn't like it very much. But if you were told, I'm going to give you this beautiful sanctuary, this beautiful home, and it's going to be your meditation retreat and your spa, and you're free to come and go. There'll be some times when I might say stay inside because for whatever reason, but, you know, because you have to meditate or you have to relax. But it's this beautiful, you'd love it. You'd be like, oh, wow, this is great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have that same kind of or similar kind of experience. It's really more the way the energy is with relationship to that den. If it's energetically treated like a reward type of positive thing, they'll love it. And if it's energetically treated like some kind of punishment place, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big advocate of using dens. I'm a big advocate of it. I'm just a big advocate of using them properly. Because they are safe, you know.
Right, yeah.
So, like, for example, most people who have elimination problems, for example, with their animal companions, you know, which is a really common one with cats and dogs, especially if you go away and you leave your cat and you come home and your cat's, like, eliminating it inappropriately. It's usually because the cat doesn't like that you went away and you didn't, like, respect him and tell him why you were going away and where you were going and all those things. Well, anyhow, proper elimination can be taught so easily and gracefully in 1 week's time when you know how to use a crate properly. I mean, there's no need for improper elimination issues ever. It's only because the person didn't learn how to properly use a crate as a den in terms of using it like a reward-based system.
Okay.
In a positive light, in other words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you give a couple more tips on that problem, that solution for so our listeners can learn about that? Because that sounds...
All right.
So, you know, animals are given up to shelters because of this problem, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so unnecessary. Here's the thing. If this is like the basic 101 I tell everybody who's having almost any issues with your pets, can be resolved like this. You go out and you get a baby gate, one of those gates that you can get the kind of
gates.
Yeah,
the gates.
For
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the kind I'm talking about is it can wrap around in a circle, and the dog can't jump over it. It can't run out of it, okay? It's a circular kind of baby or dog crate gate,
mm-hmm.
like a playpen type of thing for animals.
Mm-hmm.
Then in there, and you circle that around in the middle of the room that you spend the most time in. Then in there you put a dog gate or a cat or dog crate that's really a safe, you know, I like the airline approved ones. And then you put inside of that enclosure, you put a water bowl with water and you put some nice comfy things for them and you keep them in there 24/7, except to take them out, to feed them, walk them, exercise them, love on them, or play with them. In other words, every time you are actively engaged with them, you take them out. And you have to be 100% involved with them when they're out. In other words, they're either outside or if they're inside, they're on a leash and they can't make a mistake because they're tethered to you directly. If you're not 100% involved with them, they go back in this safe area where they're enclosed in this baby gated type of circular thing with a nice cup bowl of clean water so they have their needs met and with a nice safe den that they can go into and out of whenever they choose. And so they can't have any bad or undesirable behaviors in there except for maybe they could bark. Which, because they're enclosed, you could immediately correct them and be like, uh-uh, this is not okay. There's no barking in this house. There's peace and harmony in here. Thank you. That's kind of how I correct my dogs. When I don't like something, I just go, uh-uh, that's not going to fly. No thanks. And then they stop immediately because they hear it energetically in my voice, and they know mm-hmm. I mean business. And because they're in an enclosure, if they don't stop, I can come right in their face and snap in their face. But that's not cool. That's not okay. Come on, we're a peaceful, harmonious pack here. And as soon as they stop it, the second they stop it, I put my thumb up and I go, great, thank you. I love that. So much better. See how nice this peace and harmony feels? Awesome. And then I go back to doing what I'm doing. I don't make a big deal out of it. So that this way, this is really, that is like, if you can do that for 1 month, That is basically home training in your house, is boot camp in your house. So you're basically taking away, you're taking away all of the freedoms that the animal would have to run around, be crazy, and make mistakes without taking away any of their rights, their fundamental rights to peace, to harmony, to kindness, to shelter, to food, to water, to exercise, to love, to play. Those are fundamental rights that we never take away from any animal. And because we have busy lives, we have a place to put them that's safe, that they can be safe and have their needs met when we can't interact with them. And then when we can interact with them, we can take them out, have them on a leash, exercise with them, play with them, love on them all we want. And in those times, if some undesirable behavior did happen, we can immediately correct it by saying, sorry, that's not okay. And if we understand how energy works, which is pretty easy to learn once you decide that it's real and you want to learn it, you just simply, your dog will get it, your cat will get it. I mean, that all you have to do is go, uh-uh, not okay with me. And they immediately will stop. And you go, thank you, great. And they can receive that energy and be like, cool, I like that energy better. Now I'm oversimplifying this, but I mean, for the purposes of our call, if people were to set that up, it would take away, it would eliminate problems that they never need, really need to deal with, and it would do it within 1 month. If you did that religiously for 1 month,
that would be it. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's like boot camp at home. Yeah.
Right. My wonderful webmaster in Canada has a new puppy, so I'm going to have him, he's got to listen to the show.
I'm telling you, what I used to do in when my dog training business first started, I was living in Maui for 2 years, and I would do dog training. It was like at the peak of the economic, downturn, and people couldn't really invest in at that time, or they wouldn't invest. It was not a time for investing in 10-week training programs with people, which is really what dog training should be. And so I would do two-hour training. I would do training in a two-hour session. And I would go into the house and teach people how to do this and recreate this situation in their house so that the animal always has a place, what I just said, basically. We're recreating that kind of pack environment so that you're basically leading him to the activities. When you are fully ready to engage with him, then you've got a place to put your animal who's safe when you can't fully engage. Anyway, I would go in and do this training in a two-hour session. I'd give them notes. I'd recreate it. I'd show them how to do it, work with them on energy, teach them the various aspects of it. And 100% of the time, within 24 to 48 hours, usually it was even faster than that, they would be like, Lori, it's like night and day. It's so dramatic. And problems that they had spent months and sometimes years trying to correct would be corrected within 24 hours to 48 hours in many cases. They always notice some kind of improvement, And in most cases, the problems would be completely corrected within 24 to 48 hours. The problem is you have to keep it up for at least a month because you can correct it in 2 days, but if you go back to the old ways, the old patterns will reinforce themselves again. So that's why I say you have to keep it up for 30 days. And then you wean out of it slowly.
That's great. This goes back to what we were saying, who needs training? The people do.
it really is because... Here's the thing that most people, with the training that's out there today, that's really, I always say most of the training that you get at like these places like Petco and stuff, it's just crap. And it's not the poo-poo on the trainers there. It's just that what they're teaching is sit, stay down, come heel. They're teaching basic commands. And the thing is like your dog already knows how to sit. Your cat already knows how to sit. He already knows how to stay in a spot. And he already kind of knows how to come to you. Does he know how to do it on command 24/7? Well, maybe not. But the point is that those behaviors are things that take up like 3 minutes of the entire day. what happens the other, you know, 23 hours and 57 minutes when you're not telling him to sit, stay down, come heal? He's living his life. And what we're trying to do is have a partnership here based on integrating wolf pack mentality, or, you know, feline pride mentality, with the human mentality and lifestyle, and integrating them in a way that they can work together in true partnership. And it really is transformative, and with relatively little effort, actually. It's way easier than we make it out to be.
Yeah, it really, yeah, this is really good. I didn't realize that, that this is what you were going to be talking about, but yeah, that is great. So much better than when I was Comet. I had taken him to a guy who had me yank his head. He was breaking his spirit, and, you know, and I had paid for this whole series. It wasn't inexpensive. And we went once, and by the end of it, I was ready to cry, and Comet stood there with his head down, his spirit completely, you know, broken. And I'm like, then the guy calls us, "Aren't you coming back?" I said, "Absolutely not. You know, we can't do this."
See, that trainer was doing what we call, actually, that's the kind of stuff that you don't see on Cesar Millan that's being done, basically, if you're familiar with that show. What he was doing was reconditioning your dog. And, yes, he was effectively breaking the spirit, in a sense, to recondition you and recondition the dog to recognize that it's basically pathway or the highway. And you kind of think that's all based on dominance training is what we call that. And it can and can be very effective. But dominance, where you basically top and poke a dog, or where you basically pin them down, which is a lot of what you see on, like, Cesar Millan shows, dominance basically breaks the spirit. And, I mean, let's face it, it might work, but do you want to be dominated? I mean, look at how our society functions. It's all based on dominance. And then we have a bunch of global leaders who try to dominate you and tell you what you have to do, and, you know, police officers and staff and teaching how to dominate you or else lock you up. That just doesn't work. It's not working in our society either. I'm sorry. It just doesn't really work. It can work, but it doesn't. It's not really for the highest and greatest good of all. Then you have the other extreme, by the way, which is based on all rewards. Let's just reward the positive and ignore the negative. Just pretend the negative doesn't exist. Let's just sweep it under the carpet. You see that on Victoria Stilwell. Let's just praise the positive. Praise. Click and praise. Click and praise. Click and praise. There's lots of training that does that. Give them a treat. Give them a treat. Give them a treat. Give them a reward. Then the dog only works for treats and rewards and isn't really, he's not really partnering with you. He's just learning to manipulate you for treats.
Right.
Right. It does develop better behaviors. It definitely does. But it's not true partnership. It's not based on, hey, let's work together. I'm a great leader. You're teaching me. I'm teaching you. We've got a great partnership based on mutual respect and collaboration. I'm understanding your society better and integrating you with my society. We're working in collaboration and partnership for the greatest good of all. And that is what spiritual dog training really is about. It takes the best of all praise and reward, and it takes the best of the practice of dominance, which is really just meant to be correct and redirect. It's not really supposed to be about dominating and breaking spirit. It's supposed to be about correcting and redirecting, rewarding, praising, and focusing on positive, integrating that whole thing fully into a language that our animals can understand, which is a language of energy, and which is also, I call it a universal language of love called Speak Wolf. That's what I refer to it as. They're teaching
us. Yeah. So
it's awesome.
It is awesome. You know, after I had been to this guy who had me jerking around on my dog, I then found another woman, and she had two beautiful golden retrievers, and I explained the situation to her, and I went to her home, and she said, "You know, you don't have to do that." See, I was very naive about this, totally naive about dog training, everything about dogs. And so I went to her house, and these two golden retrievers, their spirits, they were alive, they were beautiful, they were happy, and they just, you know, they did, you know, they were so well behaved and everything. It was absolutely wonderful. So
right.
That's what I prefer for the animals.
Yes. You know, the truest thing about our animals is they're going to be as joyful and happy and healthy and well-mannered as we are. They really are. They're going to be in total alignment with us energetically. They are mirroring us, and they're showing us aspects of what we need to bring into alignment. And the thing that happened with you with those golden retrievers was somewhere, Judy, in your mind, you were thinking there's got to be a better way, and the universe showed you.
Oh, yeah.
With that lady. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't have kept going on like that with that guy. It was just, I mean, I was so upset. I couldn't get the jerking of the head that, you know, he was on the leash and I was supposed to jerk and say, ugh, ick, or something. I was supposed to say, ick, I think, like that.
Oh, yeah.
Jerk at the same time. I couldn't even get coordinated. I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, it was so horrible. Oh, my goodness.
I'll say like that, but it's the jerking is not what it's supposed to be. Like, a lot of dog trainers make it into that. It's not supposed to be a jerking. It's just supposed to be something to get their attention and say, that's not what it is. This is the way. It's a correct and redirect very gently and lovingly. But anyway, I'm so glad that you shared that, because a lot of people go through that, and you're right. It doesn't have to be that way. There are way more harmonious ways to do it.
Right, yeah. So, oh, my goodness. You know, I see the time, Lori, as usual with you. The time just goes by. This has been really fascinating. I hope very inspiring for our listeners. I'm so happy you could take time from your busy schedule to, you know, join Simba and myself today. So do you have any final words in just a minute or two that you would like to share with our wonderful listeners?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, if people want to go over to my website at lorispagna.com, it's LORISPAGNA.com, they can get a free class on animal communication if they get on the newsletter. And the other thing that they can do, if they're interested, just for your listeners only, Judy, they can get any of the animal programs at a 30% discount by entering a code. So if they're interested, they can email us for the code. It's going to be specific just to your group.
And you said how much off?
30%.
How much did you? 30%? Oh, wow. Thank you. I didn't know this. Thank you.
It's a big discount, and it's just for your listeners. And it will be an exclusive code that anyone asks for, and they can save on any of the products there. So we have, like, I have a program called Spiritual Dog Training. Obviously, I've been talking about that. There's a program called Learn Animal Communication, Level 1 and Level 2. There's a program called Animals in the Afterlife, Learning How to Connect with Them and How to Resolve Issues Dealing, you know, with Grief and Survival related to that. There's another program called Locating Lost Animals Using Non-traditional approaches, which is really, I mean, it goes into muscle testing and it goes into manifestation and working with energy. That's a great class. So I have a number of programs on there that are specifically about animals, and this special offer code for anyone who's interested will save them 30%. They just have to email
us. Okay, and that's
code.
Again, it's lorispagna.com.
Yep.
Okay, I will, and that will also be on the podcast. So, great.
Yeah.
So, thank you so very much again, Lori. A big hug to you, and thank you so very much to all you beautiful listeners for joining Simba and myself today. So, please, tune in every Tuesday at the same time. We have some absolutely fantastic guests lined up to share their expertise with you. So, we are very excited about sharing these people with you. So, until next time, much love and have a magical week.